All right, there we go. So, first of all, for the record, can you state your name and what you do for the game?
Yeah, my name is Bill Sternberg. I'm one half of Zeboid Games. I do the art, the animation, and in-game assets for all of our games.
All right, great. So, you guys have taken over the Rainslick series since number 3. What things did you change from 3 to 4? Because I did a review on number 3, and there were only a few things that that I had notes on.
Okay.
Namely, and look, here we go.
Oh, cool. We just started.
Here.
Right. I just said, you just started.
We literally just started.
Myself. Now you can introduce yourself.
Fine, dude. There was a reason I came back.
Yeah. I told him you were just taking a break coming back soon. So
I won't take up too much time. What things did you guys change from 3 to 4? I know that you guys got some feedback. Specifically, the only things that I had notes on were the animations were a little weird and the sound quality.
So
what things did you guys change?
Well, we changed a number of things with the gameplay, for one. Obviously, the big change is that we're diversifying the combat a little bit by letting people collect monsters, which each have their own like level up tree and ability tree. And those monsters are attached to trainers, which are the player's main characters, like Gabe, Dr. Blood, and so forth, which will give each monster their own special, unique abilities. The second thing, big change, I guess, is that we opened up the overworld. It's not just one city. It's not set on paths and nodes like Rainslick 3, which worked okay for a small city setting. But this underhill nether realm can be bigger and more interesting than Rainslick 3's one city was. So that's the other big change. As far as presentation, you were mentioning like sound effects, for example. And by visuals, I assume you're referring to the battles.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's mostly the same. We do have some new, more interesting audio special effects for that. So that's definitely one improvement. Battle special effects, we're trying to think of interesting ways to mix that up without basically taking another six months to just upgrade that right. particular visual.
Yeah.
So, otherwise, I mean, I can speak for maps and the enemies and the battle backgrounds. Somehow I learned a whole bunch since Rainslick 3, and I think visually it's a lot better. And hopefully people will appreciate that.
Well, I mean, that was another thing that I had completely forgotten is that Rainslick 3 was on nodes and paths. And having an overworld, to me, there's only a few things that I really require in an old school RPG. And it's number one, if you're going to give me a vehicle, make it an airship and let me fly it around. And number two, give me an overworld to walk around on. Having played Ni No Kuni, I finally got that again.
Oh, cool.
You never have it in any other games. It's awful. So it's so refreshing to see that again. So
yeah.
Thanks so much for that.
There is a flying device of some sort.
Yes!
Later in the game that you will be able to fly around to your heart's content.
You have no idea how happy that makes me. Oh my god, yes. Whew. Okay. So I know that we got monsters and trainers. Are we gonna see a return to the four line main character battle mechanics, or is it all gonna be trainers?
You will be using primarily monsters as your active combatants in battle.
Okay. Cool. I like the idea. So and I played through the demo all the way through.
Oh, awesome!
Because I couldn't stop because it was awesome. So I noticed that at the very beginning, you sort of give us you give us the monsters that we have. So how do you find more monsters? Do you catch them in battle? Are they on the map? Or?
Most of them will just naturally join your party when you get to that stage in the story.
Okay.
We also have a few that are hidden away that you can have to search a little harder for.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, it's all predetermined. There's no random element to it, so you don't have to fight over and over like some games make you do to try to catch that one monster
right.
you really want.
You're not going to have to grind in a specific area of a specific forest to find one of the monsters. There's going to be...
After you beat some battles, they say, oh, you got a monster, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. you'll find secret caves or hidden paths in the overworld, or even in some of the maps, and you'll encounter the special monster and then be able to take it on your team.
It's pretty cool. All right, and so have you guys added any new items? Because I know we've got, from the demo, we've got potions and Molotovs, so that's what I know those have come back. And I'm presuming a lot of the others have come back. Is there any other battle mechanic? Because, I mean, as far as items are concerned, that was probably my favorite design choice that you guys did, is say, you know, we're going to have a finite amount of them that you can use within battle, but they regenerate afterward because it just doesn't, that doesn't add fun. It just adds, like, resource management.
Uh-huh. Yeah, on the items, we're not 100% decided on which items will be returning other than the potion and Molotov.
Yeah.
One of the new items, well, I can tell you two of the new items. One of them is an item that lets you swap your monsters in and out of battle.
Nice, nice.
And the other one that's new to the game is an item that will interrupt enemies so that you can use it even on monsters that don't have a natural interrupt capability. So, yeah, those are the two. We're also going to have some, I don't know if we're probably not going to stick it as an actual battle item because it doesn't make a lot of sense, but in some treasure chest you'll find an item that will let you choose one of your monsters to give a level up to.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you have a favorite monster, you can try to make it a lot more powerful than everybody else on your team.
Nice. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So for the story of the game, obviously we're finishing it off. So, I mean, are you going to... My question, I guess, is whenever you worked together with Jerry on this game, like, were you surprised by reading what the ending was, and did you have any, like, conferencing back and forth? Because I'm hoping, my hope beyond hopes is that I'll finish the game and I'll be like, oh, that was great, and not be like, oh my god, why is there not going to be a fifth one?
The game ends in a very definitive manner, so I don't think many people are going to be wondering what happens next. I mean, it pretty much wraps up all the loose ends.
Yeah, people should be satisfied as far as tying up
or
the story.
Angry at us.
One of the two.
They should. There shouldn't be any question as to whether there's, you know, the story is going to end or not.
It would require a fair bit of work to make a new one after this. By the way, number four was all a dream.
This thing that happened. Well, afterward. Yeah. Yeah, I also hate that whenever game designers design a game to be fully, like, it's just this one game, and then at the very end they're like, well, we can make a sequel now, unkill this guy, and we'll just, I don't know, we'll do whatever.
Are you happen to be a Mega Man X fan at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so they did that a number of times,
yeah,
I guess.
Yes, they all did. Right. Yes, and every time I was like, oh, because after the first time you gotta be like, okay, well, how is he gonna come back this time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Cowboy Bebop did the same thing to anime whenever you were like, he can't have lived out of like a 20-story fall out of a church hill, and now he's fine. He's just real hurt.
Yeah, you've got some TV series where dying basically means that you're gonna see more of that character. They're gonna get more screen time than they did before they died.
Yep, and I can't stand that. So that's great. How much free reign do you have over the game? So if Jerry delivers the story to you and you're like, well, we want to add this sort of extra cave or this extra thing, would you be okay writing dialogue for that? Is that an interaction you guys have often?
Well, it's a little easier than that for Rain Slick 4. Rain Slick 3, he had already written the chapters online, so we based everything on that. Rain Slick 4, we met up with him in his office in Seattle and hammered out a framework of the story, basically, together. So everybody was on the same page.
That's great.
And that was probably our producer's idea, Jeff.
Yeah.
He probably wanted to do that just to scope the game out. So
and then afterwards, yeah. I mean, if one of us has an idea, we'll just send it to as an email. And usually Jerry replies with some sort of food-based adjective, which means go for it.
Nice. Okay, so your team is very small. Almost unconventionally small, and whenever I heard about that, I was surprised.
So do you guys have a little ways to go? Did somebody else show up?
Yeah, but he's booked for tomorrow, but he's here now. We can do it now, or we can just keep
him. I can take care of it if Bill finishes up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Weird. Yeah, so, sorry to interrupt.
That's fine. So, what was I saying? I completely forgot.
See, you were asking, because Jerry, we were talking about how Jerry would come back when we had an idea.
Right.
And he would be all for it. So.
Right. Okay. And we were also talking about, hey, you guys are the greatest burger in
Oh, yeah, you said we're
so,
really small.
Yes, that's it. So you guys are unconventionally small. And whenever I heard how small the Bastion development team was, 7 people, I was like, there's no, like, even that's a shoestring. You can't do it. And then I hear one programmer, one art asset guy, one person who wrote the game. I was flabbergasted. I'm a programmer. I can't fathom how you could have done all of this with only 3 people.
Well, I don't know how we do it either. We're just, it just works. I think, or at least our opinion generally on this topic is that one person can do a lot on their own, but it usually ends up taking ages, and it might not be the best in every respect from one person. But if you can find one other person whose abilities complement like what you can contribute to a project, the two individuals working together can do a whole lot more than what they could each on their own and then adding them together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the effect is exponential, not additive. And we're just lucky that Robert and I work really well together, and we can usually get into a kind of a groove where we're basically producing a game pretty quickly, or at least producing a certain quality and quantity of a game within a reasonable amount of time for two people. So
yeah, I mean, just, I can't, it's still hard.
I also have to say though, we also work with musicians, and a musician on Rain Slick 4, they're called Hyperduck Studios, or Hyperduck Soundworks, sorry.
Okay.
They're awesome to work with, and they make incredible music. A lot of people know them from doing the Dust and Elysian Tale soundtrack, which is an XBLA game.
Yeah.
They actually got some awards for that.
Yeah.
They're incredibly good to work with, and they did the whole soundtrack and a lot of new sound effects for Rain Slick 4.
Very nice. So, that's good. Who did the sound design for Rain Slick 3?
The music was written and recorded by Alex Maurer, okay. Who's a really good chiptunes artist.
Yeah.
And the sound effects were our own making, which is, they were pretty basic, so we're happy that Hyperduck could work with us on sound effects for Rain Slick 4.
Okay. So, I guess, final couple questions. You guys had DLC for Rain Slick 3. And it was free, which thank you, first off. But for two, do you need to have played through the DLC to get Rain Slick 4?
No, I don't think so. You'll learn more about the Rain Slick like storyline, in particular the player character from episode 1 and 2, if you play the DLC for Rain Slick 3. But if you pick up Rain Slick 4 having not played the DLC for Rain Slick 3, you'll be totally fine.
Okay.
It'll just fill in some more, more questions are answered in the DLC, but it's nothing pertinent, I guess.
And if there's people like me that didn't even play Rain Slick 1 or 2, and just saw how cool this looked and picked up the third one,
yeah.
I should be okay.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, 4 follows 3 really closely. So I almost feel like Rain Slick 3 and 4 together are kind of like one big game. Instead of, you know, a sequel, it's totally different. The gameplay's, you know, we tweaked it, changed it, made some improvements, made some diversifications, but playing 3 and 4 together should be totally good.
Cool. All right, well, last question. Rain Slick 4 DLC, yes or no?
Right, I'm going to say tentatively no, because Rain Slick 4, the game is much larger and pretty much ties up everything that I can think of. But I won't say definitively no, because we might come up with some cool idea and we just have to add it as, you know, DLC, which if we do, it will be free. So I can say that pretty definitively.
Very great. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
And go ahead and wrap this up.